Appreciate Matthew leading the songs that he has. I made a couple of requests. The others he has chosen himself, and I appreciate all of them as we get ourselves focused on the subject of Esther and courage. Let's open our Bibles back up to the book of Esther. We are going to be surveying the book somewhat. We'll be spending a lot of time looking at the passage that was our scripture reading a few moments ago from Esther chapter 4, but we're going to be surveying at least the first half of the book of Esther in our study this afternoon. And I understand that the young adults class back in the back on Sunday morning is studying Bible characters, and today actually started a study of Esther. And that's just coincidence. I haven't planned to preach this sermon with that study as a backdrop. Just coincidence, but it won't be a repeat of that information, but instead we're going to be focusing on another aspect of the account of Esther, and that is really focusing on the subject of courage. Courage is a very honorable trait. It is a trait or a characteristic that we take very seriously, that we cherish, and that we admire in other people. We look around about us and we see adults, we see those who are grown, who show and exhibit a great amount of courage in their life. Think about the cancer patient who is undergoing treatment for their malignancy and how much effort they put into, how much strength they show, how much courage they show as they are undergoing that kind of a treatment. Think about the police officer who puts his life on the line every day, his or her life on the line when they go out and they serve the public to protect and to serve. The soldier who enlists of his own free will and goes off to a foreign land, again, to put his life on the line for the benefit of others. The firefighter who is the only one that runs into the burning building to save, to rescue someone who is trapped inside. We look at those individuals and we admire their courage. Courage is defined as the attitude of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful. Courage can be described as the strength to take risk, to face danger, to endure difficulty, or to withstand fear. We know what courage is, and we know what it is when we see it. We look around about us, and we see it in the lives of individuals. But we should also understand that courage isn't something that comes naturally. Courage is something that each and every one of us has to find. It is a characteristic that has to be learned, and oftentimes it is learned at an early age. While we look at and we admire courage in those who are adults around about us, we also see children showing courage, perhaps for the first time in their lives. First time a young child rides a bicycle without the training wheels. For a lot of us, that took some courage. Others, it was just natural. But for a lot of us, that was an expression of courage. At the school play, there are always children who love to take part in the school play, and then there are always those who had stage fright, and they were terrified, but they still got up, and they did it. How about the children who are afraid of going to the dentist? For them, that's the scariest thing. And you know what? Sometimes adults don't even outgrow that fear. Or standing up to a bully. It takes a lot of courage to look fear in the face and to stand up to a bully. You see, this courage that we as adults have, many of us had to learn it when we were children. And so courage is something that you don't have to wait till you're an adult to show. You don't have to wait till you're an adult to have. It is something that we can work on while we are younger. We had fears regarding these kinds of situations, but we found strength to face them, and we're made better people as a result. Esther was a woman who was called upon to exhibit an incredible amount of courage. As we read together a few moments ago, Queen Esther put her life at risk to save both herself and the entire Jewish nation. What we're going to do for a few moments this afternoon, we're going to learn some things about Queen Esther. We're going to learn about the unique challenge that she faced. But we're also going to especially look at where she found her courage. And we're going to look at the connection between faith and courage. And I hope what we find when we come out of this lesson is that each and every one of us is capable of showing the same kind of courage that Esther had to show when it was called upon for her to do so. Let's spend some time talking about this woman named Esther. The account of Esther takes place during the time of the return from Babylonian captivity. While Ezra and Nehemiah were back in Jerusalem, and they were busying themselves rebuilding the temple, and then rebuilding the wall around the city, and then especially rebuilding the people spiritually, most of the Jews remained scattered throughout the Persian Empire. And the account in the book of Esther focuses upon those Jews who remained in the Persian provinces and talks about a threat that they faced. The book of Esther gives an account of the threat that was faced by these Jews and about one unlikely hero, Esther, who did what she could to save them from annihilation. We learn in the book of Esther that Esther was an orphan who was raised by her older cousin named Mordecai. Mordecai was a Jew who lived in Shushan, which was one of the capitals of the Persian Empire of that day. Chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that he sat in the king's gate. And most likely what that meant is that he was a royal officer, or he was an officer of some kind in the royal court in service to the king. Well, the king dismissed his wife Vashti because she refused an order from him, and he began to look for another queen, to take her place. The book of Esther tells us that beautiful women were brought in from all over the empire. Esther was brought before the king, and at Mordecai's urging, Esther did not disclose the fact that she was a Jew. Esther found favor in the sight of the king, and he loved her and chose to make her his queen. In chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants, and he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of a king. After this happened, the king promoted one of his princes named Haman, and all of the king's officials bowed down before Haman and paid him homage, except for one man, Mordecai the Jew. And this angered Haman. But he decided, instead of just getting back at Haman, he decided he was going to get back at all of the Jews, the people of who Haman belonged. He tricked the king into authorizing a royal decree, which commanded that on a specific day, the Jews were to be killed, and their property, was to be plundered. The decree was sent throughout the entire Persian Empire, and the Jews, it appeared, were doomed because something about the royal decrees of the Persian kings, they could not be altered, they could not be changed, and they could not be revoked. We learn this two times in Esther. Esther chapter 1 and verse 19, some of the advisors tell the king, if it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes so that it will not be altered. So those decrees that were passed, they couldn't be altered. They couldn't be changed. In chapter 8, in verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 8, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. We might have a hard time understanding this, grasping this, and appreciating this because of the nation in which we live. We have a constitution, and there can be amendments made to the constitution, and there can also be laws passed that revoke some of those amendments and revoke some of those laws. So we're used to laws being passed, becoming outdated, and being replaced with other laws. That wasn't the case in the Persian Empire. If a law was passed, it was literally in stone. It could not be changed. And so this decree goes out that all of the Jews are going to be killed. And afterwards, of course, all of the Jews are sorrowful over this matter. Now we see of Esther's challenge. As the royal decree is spread across the 127 provinces of the Persian Empire, the Jews in every place mourned their fate by fasting and weeping in sackcloth and ashes. Even Mordecai expressed his sorrow by tearing his clothes, by putting on sackcloth, and by crying out in the city, crying aloud in the city. Well, Esther learns about what Mordecai is doing. And so through a messenger, she sends new garments to him for him to change his clothes and to clean himself up and to stop doing this. And Mordecai would not accept it. He would not change his clothes. He would not stop crying out. Then Esther sent one of her attendants back to find out why Mordecai was in mourning, why he was acting like this. And as we read a few moments ago in chapter 4 and at verse 12, this decree was sent back to Esther by Mordecai. Rather, it would have been in verse 8. This decree was sent back to Esther from Mordecai through that messenger. So she learns about this decree. She learns about the fate of the Jews, but also Mordecai sent back a command. Sent back a command that Esther go into the king and intercede on behalf of the people, that she do something from her privileged position to try to save her people. Well, Esther felt as if she could not fulfill this request. For her to do so would be to risk certain death. In verse 11, we read, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days." So Esther sends back word. "You know, I appreciate why you're asking me to do this, but I want to tell you, I can't. I can't do this. I can't just walk into the king." You know, it's obvious that the Persian kings and their wives did not enjoy as close a relationship as husbands and wives do today, because she hadn't seen him for 30 days. She's married to him, but she hadn't even seen him for 30 days. And she reminds Mordecai of the law. The law is that if anyone goes in to approach the king and he hasn't called for them, they're to be put to death. And the only exception to that is if he holds out the golden scepter to them, then they shall be saved. And what Esther is saying is, I have no reason to believe that he would hold out the scepter to me, because he hasn't asked for me for 30 days. So he doesn't want to see me. And if I go in to see him, then surely I'm going to die. And she sends word back to Mordecai, trusting that he'll understand. He'll understand the predicament that she is in. But as we read, Mordecai does not accept her excuse. He sends word back to her to get her to rethink her choice and to rethink the role that she needs to play in this. He tells her in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." He says, you're not going to be safe there. Yes, it might be you might be risking your life to go into the king, but you're not going to live. You're not going to survive. Death is going to find you even there in the king's palace. So tells her, death is already on the table for you. And then he does something else. I know the book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that does not contain the word God. But yet right here in this verse, we see Mordecai's faith in God, don't we? He says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place." He says, God is going to save us. God will save the Jews. Now, why would Mordecai say this? Out of nationalistic pride? Because he's proud of being a Jew and he thinks that God would spare the Jews? No, remember, God had made a threefold promise to Abraham, right? That of Abraham's seed there would come a nation, and it had come. There would be a land promise, and it had been given. But also there was that blessing to all the families of the earth, that seed promise, and that promise had yet to be fulfilled. Mordecai was a man of faith. He knew that the Jews had to survive. He knew that deliverance was going to come. So here he expresses his faith to Esther, and then he challenges her to think about why it is that she, as an orphan, has risen up to become the queen, the wife, of the most powerful man in the world. Gets her to think about this. Relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Gets her to think about her role in this. It's no accident that she's the queen. There is something that she can do and that she needs to do for her people and for her God. And so Esther accepts that challenge. Now Esther likely had no idea what Haman had done to her people. She asked, you know, why is Mordecai crying out loud? Why is he dressed in sackcloth and ashes? It seems that she's the last Jew to learn about this plot, doesn't it? But when she learns about it, she finds herself thrust to the forefront of a crisis that she would just as soon avoid, right? I can't do this. I can't go before the king. You're going to have to find somebody else. But Mordecai wouldn't let her off the hook. He said, who knows if this isn't the reason that you've been made queen? Who knows if this isn't the reason that you have been brought to this place in the kingdom for such a time as this? So there's her challenge. Now we see Esther's. Esther accepted Mordecai's challenge. We read here in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going. She's changed her mind. She's accepted the challenge. And she's really willing and ready to face death in order to save her people. You see, courage is not the absence of fear. I believe she's still afraid here in verses 15 and 16 as she was before. She still knows that she could die and there's still fear there. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the willingness and the ability to face our fears and to do what we know we need to do. And so here is Esther. Nothing miraculous has happened to her. She's just changed her mind, and she is willing to face her fears in order to save her people. Courage is a choice. It's a choice that we make. We choose to be courageous. We choose to act with strength. We choose to face our fears. Why is it that Esther chose to be courageous in the face of certain death? What is it that caused her to find her courage? And how can that help us today? There are three things I see in the book of Esther. Three things that helped Esther, that caused Esther to find her courage. The first is her faith. Esther's faith helped her to find courage. It gave her courage. Faith is intended to be the source of strength in us overcoming our fears and overcoming our foes. We sang one of our songs we sang this afternoon, faith is the victory, based on 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith, our knowledge of God's Word, our knowledge of His truth is to give us that courage, to give us that victory, to overcome the world, to overcome everything in it that stands before us, that threatens us, that causes us to be afraid. But brethren, in order for us to have courage, in order for us to walk with courage and to face our fears every day, we have to walk by faith and not by sight, don't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." How is it that we walk by faith? When we walk by faith, we're able to look beyond the physical object that is causing our fear and to see God's care and God's provision. David was walking by faith when he said, "I'll face the giant." Goliath came out for 40 days in a row and cried out against the army of Israel, challenged the army of Israel, defied the army of Israel and their God. And all the people would run and hide from him, even his brothers and even King Saul. And David, the shepherd boy, shows up one day, and the first day he sees Goliath and hears his challenge. He says, "Don't worry, King, I'll face the giant and I'll deliver him into your hands for you." And why did he do that? How was he able to do that? Because he looked past the giant and he saw his God. He saw his God who had helped him to deliver the sheep from the bear and from the lion. And he would deliver David from this giant, from this Philistine. See, when we walk by faith, we can look beyond the physical objects that threaten us and we can see God. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" It's our faith that gives us courage, that helps us to see God's care and God's provision. When we walk by faith, we can remember what God told Joshua. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go," as we just sang. Those are the words that were given to Joshua, and those are the words that have been given to the people of God ever since. Don't be afraid. I'm with you wherever you go. When we walk by faith, we know that despite what happens in this world, we know despite the moral decline that we see around about us, we know that despite how we see ourselves being outnumbered on every turn, on everything that has to do with the Word of God, we know that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Our faith gives us the victory. And we're not just victors. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remember who we are. Esther found her faith. When she found her faith, then she found her courage. And she said, "I'll go and I'll do it." There's something else that I see that helped Esther to find her courage, and that was her mentor. As she and Mordecai were having this exchange back and forth, it wasn't an exchange with a stranger. You see, Esther had been raised by Mordecai. And he had developed that time. He'd spent that time with her. He developed that relationship with her. And he had influence over her. He'd taken care of her, given her good advice her entire life. And this placed him in a position to have a great amount of influence with Esther. Perhaps there was no one else who could have convinced Esther to put her life on the line. But when Mordecai expressed his faith, that deliverance will come from another source, I know that God will deliver us. When Mordecai expressed his faith, then Esther found her faith. She responded by saying, "I will go before the people." You know, we need to do the same thing. Listen to me, young people. You need to do the same thing that Esther did. You need to find people and put people in your life who can be a good example to you, who can be good friends to you, and who can be a good mentor to you and help you to make the right choices and help you to be strong in your life and in your faith. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You see, it does matter who you hang out with. It does matter who you spend time with, because these people shape your life. Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Be around those. Choose to be around those who have strong faith. Those people who can help you to make the right kinds of decisions. the people who can give you good, sound advice and strong encouragement in your life. Esther found her courage because she found her faith. And she found her faith because of her mentor, because her mentor encouraged her and reminded her. I'll tell you something else that Esther obviously did that helped her to find her courage to go into the king. And that is, she looked beyond herself. In her initial response to Mordecai, she was only thinking about herself. If anyone goes into the king, they're going to be killed, and he hasn't called for me for 30 days. And so if I go into him, I'm going to die. She's thinking only about herself and what could happen to her. And Mordecai helped her to see that there was more than just her at risk here, that it was all of her people. And so when she finally does expose the plot to the king, notice what she says. Then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given to me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated." Something happened to help Esther see that it was more than just her. It was her people. There were other people's lives at stake, and that helped her to find her courage. I know that our relationship, our faith, our relationship with God is a very personal thing. And it should be. It should be, because we have fellowship with God one-on-one. As we looked at this morning, we no longer have to go through a priesthood and through a high priest to get into the presence of God. We are all priests of God. We're all priests and kings, as we read about in the bulletin this morning. It is a personal relationship that we have with God. However, as our faith grows and develops, no doubt we begin to look beyond ourselves and we begin to see other people and how our faith and how our decisions and how our influence affects people other than ourselves. Esther finally realized that. That dawned on her, and she saw that other people would be impacted by the decision that she made. And so she faced her fears. She went in and she pleaded on behalf of her people. We need to have that same care for one another. We need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And it's in these three areas that Esther was able to find her courage. She found her faith. She had help from her mentor. And she looked beyond herself. She looked at and she considered other people. There's nothing miraculous there, brethren. There's nothing miraculous that happens here in Esther chapter 4. Each and every one of us can do the same thing. We can develop a strong faith. We can surround ourselves with good mentors and influences. And we can quit thinking just about ourselves, and we can start thinking about other people. And in that, we can find our courage. Esther took courage and presented herself before the king. She found favor in his sight, and he held out his scepter to her. She invited him and Haman to a banquet. And there at that banquet, she exposed the plot of Haman, and he was killed in chapter 7. However, remember the royal decree that called for the destruction of the Jews had already been sent out, and it could not be revoked. But the king encouraged Esther and Mordecai to write another decree that would allow the Jews to defend themselves. And that's exactly what happened. That decree was sent out, and the Jews were saved. Their lives were spared. And to this day, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Purim as a remembrance of how Queen Esther delivered them from destruction. She found her courage. Do we find our courage? Just remember that courage is a choice. And brethren, especially young, those who are younger, there will come times in our lives when we will have to face our fears and muster courage to overcome various challenges. Because the devil is never going to allow our faith to go unchallenged. Those challenges are going to be there. They're going to present themselves in different ways throughout our lives. The best thing that we can do to prepare ourselves for those times then is to develop a strong faith now. If we'll get into God's Word, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If we'll get into God's Word and we'll assemble with God's people and we'll work to produce fruit to His glory, then we can produce a strong faith that will prepare us for the times when we need to be strong and courageous and stand up against our foes. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's learn this lesson from Queen Esther. If there's anyone here this afternoon who's not yet rendered obedience to the gospel, now would be the time for you to do so, to muster that courage, to step forward and confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to let us know that you've turned away from your sin and turned away from the life that you've been living, and to let us baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, to let us rejoice in you making that decision. If you've walked away from the Lord, muster your courage to come back. If you need to take care of that in a public way, we'd be glad to help you as well. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.